super fly.
What's up, guys? It's the Wrestling IQ 101 podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Derek.
Andrew.
And Pat.
And we've hosted some of the biggest stars in wrestling, like WWE Cruiserweight Classic star Sean Maluta,
NXT standout Anthony Bowens,
Impact Wrestling's Robbie E,
and the Patriot Del Wilkes,
WWE superstar JTG,
and Impact Wrestling's Falaba. We are the official Indian professional wrestling interview podcast. You can check us out here on the B+ Player Radio Network, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Also, make sure you check out our website at WrestlingIQ101.com.
The following program is brought to you by B+ Player Radio. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests therein and do not necessarily reflect the views of this network, our affiliates, or our sponsors. For more information, please visit us on Facebook and Twitter at B+ Radio. And now,
it's showtime, folks!
You're listening to A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with the genuine article, Sean Donovan. And now, here's your host, Sean Donovan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of A Genuine Taste of Wrestling. As we record this right now, we are on the move. We are headed to Infinity Health and Fitness in Hazlet, New Jersey. We are going to take part with fellow WrestlePro compadre Nikos Rikos at his gym facility to take part in a specialized boot camp workout to help design to get us in even better shape than what we are already in. Upgrade our stamina, look as good as we can, because even though my guest and I have been wrestling for over a decade, we still have passion, unlike 90% of some of the independent professionals that are out there that just wear t-shirts and shorts, but that's a story for another day. Please welcome my guest today, which is going to be a little bit of a different interview. Please welcome Mark Carino of Mark Carino Designs, otherwise known as Desirable Dustin of the Heavenly Bodies.
Is there any otherwise known? Do I have any other names?
Fatty McGooboos.
Fat ass. You name it, I've been called it. How's it going, Sean?
Oh, man. It's a beautiful, what it was today, Tuesday?
It's a beautiful Tuesday. I'm with my dear good friend driving down to get in shape.
That's it. We're all doing that. So I wanted to do this episode a little bit differently with you just because I wanted to talk to you about a different side of professional wrestling. It's a side you know very well, and that's the marketing and the advertising side. You know, to anyone who's been living under a rock who doesn't know that you do graphic design work. I'm not saying this because I'm a friend, but I think you're one of the better designers out there. Thank you. I mean, you do graphic work for not just WrestlePro. You do graphic design work for some of the major other independent promotions out there, like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Yes.
If you see their posters, if you even see PCW Ultra out in California, you do work for them as well. So just freestyling here, man, like how important is poster work and advertising for events like this, whether you're putting it up on social media or you're going to staple it to a telephone pole or a window at a bagel shop to advertise shows? Man, how important is the design work?
Well, the biggest thing about wrestling is you want to be able to sell your show. You want people to look at something at first glance and say, hey, I want to be there. It's the same thing that goes for, say, you're visiting a new supermarket for the first time or you're going on a job interview or something. Everything has to look presentable, and it's the same thing that goes on with professional wrestling shows. And there's a lot of good work out there, and there's a lot of very bad work. main thing is you want to sell your show. And you want people to be attracted to your show. A lot of the times I like to base my work off of how movie posters inspire me and how they just draw you in. And if a movie has such a strong visual and such a strong promotion point, and you know that movie's going to be good just by looking at the artwork that's done, that's going to draw you in. And that's what's going to pull you in to see the show. And that's what's going to pull you in to talk about it and look more into it. So it's the same thing that goes on with wrestling. You have to sell your show. And it also comes with the talent that's working for your show. But one of the main thing is the artwork and the promotional work that goes into selling your show.
So when you talk about movie posters, and again, it's you bring up a great aspect, because a lot of times, you know, if I don't hear of a movie coming out these days and I'm just scrolling through Netflix or whatever, it's that movie graphic, that picture kind of just draws you in a little bit and says, oh, I got to look into this more and see what kind of movie this is really about. A lot of times it's going to be based solely on the poster itself, at least in my opinion. But yeah, anything, it's like a comic book cover or record album.
You know, a lot of times things are called coming attractions for a reason. They're attractions. They're supposed to draw you in, and you're supposed to get hyped up for things. You know, a lot of the times, even there's movies that aren't even out yet, or there's not even trailers for them, but there's movie posters for them. And if you look that up, if you look up a lot of 2018 movies coming out, there's promotional work for it already, and it's selling itself, and you don't even know what the movie's about, but visually you have a feel of what's gonna happen.
So take me through a process here, because I've seen you do this work before, and obviously just, you know, the poster design and background is one thing, but getting the right images of performers as well is another thing in itself. I know you are the guy that takes on doing a lot of the promotional shots for wrestlers for WrestlePro. So do you have a process that you go through as far as the positions you want performers to be in? Do you already have a set idea in mind that you're already researching poster work beforehand, saying, okay, I see this guy's pose in this poster, I know exactly the guy I want, I need to make sure I get that pose from him at an event?
Yeah, 9 times out of 10 I have a visual in my head on what I want to make and why I want it, why I want certain people to pose certain ways. You're absolutely right. I there's a method to my madness, and recently, actually about a year ago, I started posing people myself. Like you said, I take a lot of the promotional pictures for the guys at WrestlePro, because me personally, the way I like to edit things and the way I like to manipulate my pictures, I like to have them taken on, whether it's the camera I've been borrowing from you personally, or just recently I just upgraded my phone. The new iPhone 8 Plus actually takes beautiful pictures, and I've found ways to be able to use my phone to take those pictures, to edit those pictures on my laptop, and still come out with the same clarity and the same resolution that I would get on an HDR camera. It's crazy nowadays how everybody's walking around with basically technically an HD camera in their pockets. There's no need to spend thousands of dollars on these huge cameras nowadays, because whether it's, I mean, unless you're taking pictures for sporting events and stuff and taking action shots and stuff, when you're taking pictures and promo pictures and people standing alone, another thing you have to factor in is you have to factor in the color background that you're taking them against, because a lot of the times, and I've had this problem where I've set up a green screen to take pictures of people, and I come home to realize I'm editing the picture and there's a green halo around them. So that makes me have to work harder, because I have to airbrush all that green out, I have to do all the color corrections on it, and it's a hassle. But I've realized that if you take pictures against a white background or a gray background, so not necessarily a black background, because a lot of the times people's hair gets lost in the black backgrounds, but if you take pictures against a nice solid color, whether it's white, whether it's gray, even if it's a black if you want to, don't use green screens, because a lot of the times green screens leave halos of green around people, and for designers like me, it's just a ton of extra work to get that picture to what I need it to be.
So, kind of piggybacking off that, obviously not everybody has someone at an event to take their pictures for them with a nice camera or anything like that, but, you know, one of the things that I think is such a lost piece here is people taking good promo shots of themselves to be able to send in to a graphic designer that is going to be making a poster for event. You know, a lot of times promoters are going to ask a guy, hey, so you're on my event, send me a couple promo shots. I mean, how much of a pain in the ass is it for you sometimes when you get these promo photos from people, or if you haven't gotten them, I guess that's a good thing, but, you know, to get these promo photos that are taken in horrible resolutions and they're grainy, and there's really nothing you can do other than tell the promoter, hey, I can't, if this guy has no other photos, I can't put him on your poster.
Yeah.
It's going to look terrible. I've to me. How important is that?
You know, it sucks telling people that clients of mine that I'm doing work for. It really sucks saying, hey, you know, if you want the work to look like what I do, then I need the quality photos first. I mean, that all factors into how a poster looks. I mean, the main reason why some of the stuff I do for WrestlePro and PCW Ultra in California and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood in California, the reason why a lot of that stuff looks so good is because the resources I'm getting are high quality and they're not skimping out on me. That's why I choose to take my own pictures of the guys at WrestlePro, because I know the quality that I need, and I'm just going to do it myself if somebody else isn't going to do it for me. And thankfully, too, at WrestlePro, we have guys like, and I'm going to give a little shout out here, we have guys like Scott Finkelstein and Bob Merlin, Merlybird, and Finkelberg. Those guys are two top photographers out there that take high quality photos. And if I need an image or something, because Bob's helped me out a lot if I've needed images of guys from Impact or whatever, Bob's helped me and he sent me pictures that he took, and they are exactly what I need. And that's what more promotions need. I know there's there is a lot of promotions that have their own photographer that take the promo shots and stuff for them, and that's great. But me personally, I choose to do it myself because I know the type of work that I do, and I know what I need, and I know the quality of imaging that I need in order to create a poster up to my standards. Because a lot of the times when I'm making these posters, I'll make 20 of them before I really like one. And a lot of my clients, a lot of the guys that I do work for, and it's hard to tell them this, but sometimes the pictures that I get sent aren't really of quality to be put on a poster and to be expanded as big as they should be. That's why a lot of the times on other companies that I do, those posters don't look up to par as to the work that I do for WrestlePro or the places out in California, because the imaging, the imagery isn't there, and that is a huge part in promoting your show. You need to have stuff that's high quality.
So when you take that into consideration, anyone that listens that wants an idea, you know, you want to have good promo photos, and you may have a photographer that's there, but they may be a novice. They may just be somebody there with a camera that's just looking to break in. I mean, what are you looking for in these pictures that, not just for you, but just wrestlers in general to want to take good promo shots to have? You know, what are some of the things that you look for in these that a lot of other graphic designers are going to look for in these promo shots? They're looking for high resolution, waist up, full body. What are you looking for in those things?
I like to use more of a full body picture, just because a lot of times promoters want to put guys in different places, and it's just their head or just this. I need to be able to work with a photo that's either full body or knees up. Even waist up sometimes is fine for me. I could find ways to manipulate it, but I'd rather full body because you could, number one, you could show more, and it makes the graphic look more realistic.
So where do you go at this point with trying to work with poster work or advertisements? You know, obviously you talk about having full body, and it's not just doing the poster work as far as the overall event. You're doing match graphics too, and you know, do you tend to want to use the same image on the actual poster of the show that you would use on the match graphic, or would you vary it and switch it up?
Sometimes that's a good question, because sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll switch them up. A lot of the times I don't, but that's just because when you're doing design work for a company, things need to be fired out right away. People need things right away. And unless I'm told to change that picture and they want to leave it as is, then they would leave that as is. But if there's ever a problem or something I have to change, I'll be more than happy to change that right away. But as far as swapping images out to show a different pose of somebody, I'm not against it. For time-wise, if I don't already have the image cut, if they want it, I'll cut it real quick. Or if they do have a different pose, I'll cut it real quick and I'll swap it out. But for me, especially for the WrestlePro guys, I have a lot of their stuff cut out, and it's easier for me to swap photos. But as for other places, I don't. Unless I go out and look for it myself, or unless they physically send me something, I'll be using the same imagery that's on the poster for the match graphic.
So we're kind of jumping along the lines here, but you know, the poster work is got to be so on point these days. I mean, I get frustrated when I see poster work done that it looks like it was put together within, you know, 3 seconds using, you know, Microsoft Word. I mean, how much does it aggravate you for somebody that puts the time and effort that you do into these posters, and then to see these other places put out just, you know, god-awful work? I mean, you can almost tell that if the poster's going to look that bad, you know the event's probably going to be just as worse, if not even terrible compared. Yeah. I mean, it's all a reflection on the promoter, the promotion, even the talent themselves. I mean, I've been on some really dog shit looking posters that I even almost want to say to myself, I'd want to cancel that booking just for how bad I look on that poster to be surrounded by all that other stuff. It's just, I mean, what are your takes on those? I mean, do you get agitated, or are you not, you don't even care at that point? You know what I mean?
That's actually, that hits a little
close to home.
Yeah, I'll explain myself now. I mean, there's a lot, and I mean a lot of great graphic designers that do poster work, whether it's Legit Fit Designs or Iron Skull Productions, even Championship Graphics.
Who's the one that does for Destiny? We had seen the image that was done with just recently of Pete Dunne versus
versus Austin Aries.
Yeah,
I believe that's Championship Graphics. I mean, that guy's work is phenomenal. Iron Skull Productions does awesome work. I know he does a lot of the AML stuff, and he does Wildcat stuff. He has does a lot of promotions. I know Legit Fit does a lot of the Massachusetts area, and all, and he does all the stuff over there. He's doing his thing in New England, and he's doing all their poster work. There's a lot of great guys out there, and these companies need to invest in their artwork. Not necessarily use me, but there's other options out there, like guys I just named. I don't know any of them, to be honest. I don't know any of them personally, but I care so much about what I do that I learn other people's work, and a lot of my work is influenced off those three guys, and I've learned a lot from doing work for Pat for years, and Pat's corrected me on a lot of things. I've learned a lot from Sheik over at PCW. He's taught me a lot. I'm learning a lot from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood with Dave Marquez, and I work with their graphic department, and they tell me, hey, you know, Mark, I need this changed. I need you to perfect this, and you need to put the same time and effort into poster work that you would in, whether it's in the, if you're working out hard in the gym, or I don't even know what to compare it to, but you need to treat these things with care.
Well, it's a craft.
Yeah, it's a craft. You know, I went to a community college. I went to Bergen Community College, and I graduated with a degree in graphic design. And for years, I've been trying to master how some of these posters were made. And you look at the old Syndicate posters that were just so awesome, and I would always try and emulate that, but I could just never do it. And I think these recent years is the closest I've ever gotten to being able to produce high quality work that I'm proud of, because a couple years ago I wasn't doing this type of work, and my posters didn't look like this. If you look at a lot of the work from my earlier years, it doesn't even compare. And you know, I see a lot of these companies, and I see their work, and I see stuff posted up around town, and it not necessarily hurts me, but these guys that are doing it, just put a little more effort into your work and be proud of the work that you do. You need to be able to look at something and say, man, I made that. Not have people say, man, that looks like shit.
What
the fuck is that? Who is that? I cannot read anything on that. The date's not on there. The time's not on there. And I used to have problems with that. I 100% used to have problems with that. But now I've learned that things need to be what needs to be highlighted on the poster is not necessarily the wrestlers. What needs to be highlighted, and Pat's told me this numerous times, what needs to be highlighted is the venue, the date, and that it's pro wrestling. That's what needs to be highlighted. And if you go overboard and you oversaturate your posters and stuff, and then that all gets lost. The talent is secondary. People need to see what is going on, and people need to see where this is and when it's going to be and how much it's going to be, where they could get tickets, where they could follow you on social media. These are all things that come into play when you're advertising something, and it's not necessarily with wrestling posters. It's everything. If you're advertising yourself as a pro wrestler, where are people going to follow you? Where are you going to be next? What are you doing? Keep people up to date with what you're doing. Promotions need to point these things out on their posters, on their social media, on their promotional stuff, on their Instagram, on their Twitter, whatever other social media platform there is. You need to market yourself properly in order to get what you want out of it. And if you don't do that, don't be shocked when you have nobody there at your shows.
Yeah, that's a good point. I see so many posters where it'll tell me the date, but it doesn't give me a venue.
Yeah.
Or I'll see on there, but nothing tells me how much tickets are, where the event is. Is there even a little bit of a note on there that says where I can get more ticket info? Anything like that is so crucial in the fine point aspects of posters. But you know, you and I've touched on something a while back, and you were kind of giving me the history a little bit of the way that if you look at most independent wrestling promotion posters now, it's that super show tiered graphic where it's like everybody in a pyramid. But then you also have the UFC style of posters, which have become very big and drunk, and they take a much more simpler approach where there's one or two guys on the poster. And what stands out to me is what UFC event number it is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess kind of a twofold, you know, what's your approach or your opinions on those two styles of poster work, but also where did this whole tiered design poster piece come from? Because there'd never been posters like that up until maybe a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden everyone seems to be using that that poster model nowadays.
The pyramid style of posters started, I want to say 2003. It started in 2003, and all these amazing posters were popping up, and that's the pyramid style is what that's what influenced me. That's actually what influenced me to make these posters, because they were just so, I'm gonna curse it, they're so fucking awesome. Those they really were, and I remember the first poster I saw was it was back a couple years ago where hold on, I had to drink some water. It was back a couple years ago, and it really hooked me in. I was like, man, I have to do this. And on the other side, you have UFC's posters where they're highlighting the main event. UFC wants to sell their main event, and they're going to sometimes advertise maybe two or three more fights that are going on that same night. That style is awesome. But what makes that so unique is it's UFC's. You know, when you see a UFC poster, that's what it's going to look like. You have the square on top with the UFC logo, and then you have the square on the bottom with the date, the time, and where you can watch it. On wrestling posters, a lot of the times you have show name, date, blah 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 blah, website. It seems like there's a formula that's accumulated over time that a lot of designers are starting to use and copy. And I see a lot of, you know, a lot of the times too. I mean, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I've seen a lot of people that, not necessarily I might have influenced, but I'll see something that I've done that somebody else will do, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I forgot the quote, but in art is everything's recycled, and you could do the same thing as somebody, but you put your own twist on it. There's nothing wrong with having influence. But when you start doing things like when you copy word for word and you start plagiarizing stuff, that's when things start to become a little awkward. There's one thing to take inspiration and you use your resources that are put in front of you, but don't make everything you do should be unique. It should have your own twist on it. I try to have my own twist on the work that I do. I mean, my work's going to look different than my work looks different than everybody's, just because that's my style and that's the way I choose to do things. I don't want to do things like this person or that person, because that's why people go to me. If they want my style, they'll get my style. If they want somebody else's style, they'll go to them.
I guess will wrestling ever go into that UFC style realm where they really start to put over the main event as opposed to hyping up all the names that are on the show? Because obviously UFC and pro wrestling is very different. With wrestling, there's a lot of legendary names that appear on events where you don't see that from UFC, because UFC is strictly built around the fight itself, the fighters themselves, where a lot of times wrestling shows are built around the entire event. Do you think wrestling posters can succeed with a UFC style? Or not even that style. Is there going to be a take on that you can see that will come about that will just feature advertising main events?
Yes and no. A lot of the times shows are, especially if it's a title match or something, maybe the promoter wants to advertise that a little earlier. And you can't really advertise something if it didn't advertise something for the future if that title match didn't happen prior, because then you're not necessarily giving things away, but you're foreshadowing to something that's going to happen, but the thing prior didn't happen. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you're not giving away the story too soon.
Yeah. Basically. As for wrestling evolving into stuff like into UFC style stuff, Personally, I think it would be awesome if, I mean, I've tried numerous times to be able to pull it off and do it, but they just have such a unique way of doing things that there just has to be, there's too much information that goes on to wrestling posters that I can't really emulate that style yet. I in the future? Probably. Another thing too, a lot of times there's legends on the posters and stuff, and those guys need to be highlighted before. I mean, it's a fact. Those guys need to be highlighted because that helps sell your show.
Yeah, and they're gonna draw more fans in by advertising them than Joe Schmo.
Yes, I can make maybe a sub poster of the main event like that, but as for the main poster, you want to be able to you want to have as much star power on that poster to be able to sell your show and to be able to be proud of something that's getting posted all over social media or if it's getting posted all over the town or something. You want something that's you want them to say, hey, I remember that guy from 10 years ago. I remember him. Oh, he's fresh off TV and he's gonna be here. Yeah. Oh man. If I don't want to knock on anybody, but if I make a poster of just two guys from our show, whether they have star power or not, it's not going to have that. It may, but I don't think it's going to have that same effect on people seeing that. If there's just two people, this is the main event, and there's just names written, because people aren't going to take the time to read all the information on the card. You only have I think you only have 3 seconds to catch somebody's eye.
Yeah, so many people are scrolling up and down Facebook or Instagram that image has to capture them. But one thing I noticed that really has always been prevalent in wrestling is, and obviously independent promotions copy this from WWE when they name their pay-per-views, and obviously the poster work needs to match the name of the event. But I think, you know, WrestlePro did this a little bit in the beginning. Why do promotions not go with numbered events? Like, okay, WrestlePro 1, WrestlePro 2, or, hey, Battle Club 1, Battle Club 2. Like, why do you never see that with names or poster work and designs?
I was doing that for a while. I was numbering the shows, and personally, I just... There's so many smaller shows and stuff that you kind of lose track as to how many shows you've had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're, God bless, if you're a new company coming up and you want to start numbering your shows and doing it like that, power to you. I've lost count on. I mean, I could go back and count all the stuff I've made, but I wouldn't even think that's accurate because there's so many other little shows that are done. But
I think poster work looks so much simpler and, again, just to me, more effective when it's a simple name and you have maybe 4 or 5 main people on a poster. Do you think sometimes the pyramid style oversaturates the event too much because there's just so many images of people on there that just takes away from it?
If you do it right, no. But I know what you're saying. Yes, it does kind of flood stuff, and I don't like to use a million people on things just for that reason, and because I feel like it's just a recycled way of doing things, and it's like a safe point for me because I know it so well. Mm-hmm. Now, but when I get to do things that are out of the box, or when it's stuff that's two guys on the poster for just one guy on the poster, it gives me time to spend more time on it because I don't have to worry about matching colors to 20 other guys that are on the poster. It gives me more time to highlight that one guy and do some more manipulation on it and stuff and whatnot. But the pyramid style of things, it's literally done by everybody now. If you look at every poster, it's either a pyramid style, or it's a recycled poster that somebody else did. That's the God's honest truth. I don't want to be on here and put any designers down or anything, because I mean I'm my own person, but I am entitled to my opinion, and it's the truth. And if you don't believe me, go on Facebook and look up some of these companies, and do a little bit of research and look at other companies and compare. It's the truth, because I've seen it. I've seen a lot of I'm not going to say the guy's name, but literally I've seen a poster copied to its T.
Of your work?
No, not my work. Somebody else's work. And the original poster that was done was beautiful. And then I look, and the guy legit copied the thing. And I'll show you it after this interview. I'm not going to, because I don't want to say any names, but it's legit copied to a T. And it's, where's your creative thought, man? Where, you know what? Think of things that work for you. It's the same thing with wrestling. Do what you do best. If you can't do it, don't do it.
Gonna copy everybody's other stuff.
Or if you want to do it, learn how to do it. Look up some stuff. I watch YouTube videos every single day on graphic design. Different ways to do things. When I'm not at work, I'll be home trying to manipulate things differently. And if I don't like it, I'll do what I do best, because a lot of the time I know how to edit guys a million different ways, but a lot of the times I do what works best and what looks best.
So take a step back after all this info. Of all the things people want to grow up and do, why did you choose graphic design? I mean, obviously you're in the game of professional wrestling. You're training for it. You're doing it. You've done amateur wrestling. A lot of people want to become doctors, lawyers, police officers, whatever. Why graphic design? What led you to that?
I used to do the work in high school. It was called graphic communications, and they used to say, you know, Mark, you're doing pretty good work. You want to make the school posters. So I used to make the dodgeball events. I used to make the prom promotion stuff and all that stuff. And I started to really grow a love for it. And with wrestling and stuff, I was like, oh man, this is cool. I can make my own 8x10s. I could do all this cool extra stuff that I don't have to pay somebody to do. And so after high school, when it was time for me to choose my major, I chose graphic design. And when I first, I was not very good. I was not what I am now. I learned a lot more out of school than I did in school. And I bet you if I went back to school again, I had 3.4 GPA.
I think you're putting yourself over.
Yep. I'm gonna put myself over with that. I got A's and B's in all my design classes. Didn't do the best in my subclasses, but...
Right, well, maybe you don't put yourself over because you said B's. You know, most parents today, they want A's or they beat the heck out of their kid.
Yeah, I mean, well, I focused on what I do best, and that was graphic design. I was even in college, and when it came time around to my senior year in college, my work was progressively getting a lot better, and I always leaned towards doing work for wrestling, and all my professors knew I wrestled, all my professors knew my forte was poster work. So it's funny to say, but when it came time to projects, I kind of had a little bit of leeway because they knew what I liked to do, and I was able to do things more geared more towards wrestling. And the stuff I do now, I'll tell you right now firsthand, and I don't want to put any of my teachers down, but I asked every day. I used to bring in these awesome posters. Hey, you know, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to do this? Do you know how to do this? You know what they would say to me? No. They would say no, and I was like, wait, what do you mean no? You're supposed to be teaching me this stuff. So that's why I'd go on YouTube and I'd look at these posters and I'd try and do it the exact way they did it, and I just couldn't figure it out. Fast forward to now, I still don't have it down pat, but I think I'm pretty damn close. And I think I think what makes my work stand out is that everything looks like it's one image. You can't really tell you can't really tell, things are layered and everything's just streamlined and to the point.
Well, as we're going to take a break here, as we almost got cut off by somebody, but that's just the way things go here in the Northeast. But so obviously, you know, mastering the design work and all the other things that you enjoy doing, you kind of gotten into creating gear for wrestlers too. Where do you come up with that creativity when someone asks you to design their work?
A lot of the times I'll ask them what they want, and they'll send me resources to stuff that they want, and I'll just put together whatever they send me. And if they say, hey, you know, I want a tiger, or they want some type of, they want stripes, or they want fangs or whatever, I'll do that to the best of my ability to make their gear stand out. Do I like doing gear design? It's not my favorite. I'll do it, but again, my forte is promotional work and poster work, and that's my strongest point. Even when I do t-shirt design, I love doing t-shirt design, but still, it's not really my strong point. My strong point is being able to take a not so big indie promotion or independent promotion and make them look as professional as possible by having a professional do their work and not just a guy on the crowd.
So where does that leave you going into, you know, 2018 with design work, post work? What's next on your list to accomplish in that area?
I'm still trying to master master the master's work, so to say, if you want to put it like that. I'm still trying to figure out what I can do better. I'm learning every single day. I'm trying to do less and less effects on things to make things look more have more clarity and use less filters and use less special effects, just things that are more to the point rather than working with files that are 3 gigs that slow my computer down. Less is always more. It's with everything. I relate that to wrestling too. Less is more. The less you do, the more you get. Mm-hmm. And that's my 2018 for poster work and graphic design is figure out what works. Get rid of the flashy stuff that doesn't need to be. Whether something's too there's too much glow on something or the saturation's off. Get rid of it, use less adjustments, and make things stand out the best way I could using as less as possible.
So what are some of the things before we wrap up here that you could give that would really help either photographers at events take better photos or the wrestlers themselves some knowledge on when they get promo photos taken for posters? What can they... You know, what can they do to make sure that they're getting the best photos or the best quality out there?
I would say promoters photographers try and take full body shots against a solid wall or solid background. Try to stay away from green screens. It'll save whoever's designing it in the long run. And always, If you're working with a designer, always email them directly. Whether it's a high quality JPEG or you use the actual raw image that you took on the camera, send that to them. And this way, designers and photographers have it easier, because then the designer is going to be less hard on you when a crappy image gets sent to them.
Awesome. Well, that is pretty much it for this week, guys. We are about to get our workout in, but before we go, where can people find you for graphic design work, poster work, all that fun stuff?
I am on Facebook at Mark Carino Designs. That's Mark with a C. If you want to add me on Facebook, which I probably won't accept you, it's Mark Carino. At Instagram, I'm at Mark Carino, and on Twitter, I am at Dine of Desire Pro.
Well, thank you very much for joining this week. eventually I'd like to get you and your brother on as the heavenly bodies to discuss the world of professional wrestling and to also discuss how you both became the 9,182 time reality of wrestling tag team champions. Then also to talk to you guys about the new book you're creating is called Rewriting the Book on Tag Team Wrestling. So
absolutely.
We will see you all next time and enjoy the next episode.
Thanks, Dips.
This has been a presentation of B Plus Player Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at B Plus Radio. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Stitcher if you like what you heard today. And head on over to audibletrial.com/B Plus Players to help support the network.